did you ever do everything you were supposed to do and not get everything you thought you were supposed to have? Anybody ever done that? You did everything you were supposed to do and you didn't get exactly what you thought you were supposed to have. It's totally annoying, isn't it? It's totally frustrating, isn't it? You and your wife go on a weight loss journey together and you both did the exact same thing for a week and one of you gains 10 pounds or one of you gains 10 pounds, the other one loses 3, right? You did the exact same things. You come to church on a Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you give and you wonder where's the blessings of God coming in my life? And there's a lot of issues that come up and we're going to talk about them today when we get into this concept of our expectations, when it comes to God. But let's look at the story today. This is Jesus trying to tell the disciples how the kingdom of heaven operates. And I want you to catch this morning. For the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he goes on to say it, but he wants them to know very clearly, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a landowner who represents God, by the way, a landowner who went out early one morning to hire his workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay at the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and he saw some people standing around doing nothing. You might circle the word nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to the work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And at 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in the town again and saw some more people standing around. And he asked them, "Why haven't you been working all day?" And they replied, "Because no one has hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the other workers in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. But when those were hired, when those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed that they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." Can you hear it? I'm just emphasizing, but that's what they're doing. He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those of you who are last will be first then, and those of you who are first will be last." There's quite a few things we can get out of this story today, a few points that could be a sermon all by themselves. The first one is this, and I'm going to get to the real one, but the first one that I pull out of this is Jesus puts a pretty good emphasis on the fact that we ought to be busy and doing some work. We ought to be getting busy. We ought to be not sitting around idle. The Living Bible actually says he found them standing around doing nothing. And he says, "Why haven't you been working all day? They said, "Well, nobody's hired us." God doesn't like it when people are just sitting around idle. In fact, the scripture in 2 Thessalonians tells us to keep away from every believer who's idle. He goes on to say, "For you yourselves know you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. We worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." No, we should all do our part. Everyone should play their part. Amen? The problem we have politically, there's more people in the boat than people that are rowing the boat. Problem we have in the church, same problem. Problem we have in society, same problem. I'm not getting political, I'm just telling you. That's what it is. And we all know this situation. Our expectations when we come before God. We could do a whole sermon on the reality that there's dignity associated with work. We could also draw from the parable the fact that, guess what? God can show mercy on whoever he wants to show mercy on. Because, repeat after me, he is God, and I am not. Wait, you didn't like, yeah, thanks. You didn't like the second part, you get quieter. Let's do it just as, we'll do he is God part, and then the and I am not part a little louder. Can we do that? He is God, and I am not. Right? God can bless whoever he wants to bless. The landowner in this situation, he came later and they were given the exact same pay as the workers that came earlier. And they were all kind of ticked off about it. But they were just upset that those that came later got the exact same pay as they did. In other words, they were mad at the landowner that he showed favoritism towards those ones that came later. What are you doing? We've been here all day. You might be here today, by the way, and you may have never stolen a candy bar. You may have never even said, I can't raise my hand. And you might even be, and you were just now sitting in the pew. You were standing in front of God and everybody here, and you were worshiping God because, guess what? You've never even stole a candy bar, but on the same row as a bank robber. Yeah, don't point. You don't know who he is. Right? And guess what? The same grace is there for that person as there is for the person that stole the score bar. Hello? God's grace and his mercy. What about the person that lives their life for the devil their entire lives and then comes to Jesus at the end of life? See the guy on the cross and tell me about it. The thief on the cross. God can show mercy to whoever he wants to show mercy to. You're not God and I'm not God. He is God and he shows mercy. In fact, he says in Romans, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion on anyone I choose. So what I want to talk about today is how do we avoid what I see is in this story is probably the biggest point, and that is this: how do we avoid unhealthy comparisons? You know, comparisons to one another, comparing ourselves to one another. We're really not very good judges. That's why he said, don't judge. We're comparing ourselves to one another. It's a really big lesson that we should learn. The truth is, if no one else had been hired that day, those early workers that made a verbal contract would have had nothing to compare themselves to. And they would have went home just fat, dumb, and happy. They would have all started at the same time and worked for the same amount of money and got paid the same wage. They agreed to their daily wage. They worked for the entire day and they got exactly what they contracted for. That attitude only turned sour when they saw the owner treating the newbies better. Or not better. Well, better. That's what they thought. They're getting the same wage. This isn't fair. No, it's absolutely fair. Unhealthy comparisons. I don't believe any of us are exempt from that. And folks got really quiet in the first service. And y'all know you help me preach sometimes, don't you? You kind of tug spiritually and I teach. And listen, unhealthy comparisons, we can all be very much guilty of those things. Looking around and wondering. We start comparing ourselves and competing. And what happens when we do that? We compare and we begin to compete. And we wonder, where's our blessing? Where's my blessing? And then what happens is bitterness begins to enter in. Envy gets to enter in. Resentment begins to enter in. Let me just give you an example of what it looks like when we start focusing on where our blessing, you know, where's my blessing? Can I quote the prophet Rod Stewart today? He's not really a prophet. Here's what he says. Speaking of relationships, alone in a crowd on a bus after working, I'm dreaming. The guy next to me has a girl in his arms. My arms are empty. How does it feel when the girl next to you says she loves you? Seems so unfair when there's love everywhere, but there's none for me. All of my friends have a ring on their finger and they have someone to care for them. It ain't fair. I got no one. Some guys have all the luck. Some guys get all the breaks. Don't point at anybody, but you've had those thoughts, haven't you, from time to time? When it comes to the blessings of God in your life, you know, why is it that that person is driving a Mercedes and my car can't even hardly make it down the hill? How come everything they do turns to gold? How come they're doing amazing financially and I can barely pay the rent on my apartment? How come their kids are perfect kids and mine are rebellious little... Pastor, take a drink of your water. Right? Anybody been guilty of comparison? Anybody? Wave at me if you've been guilty of comparison. Unhealthy comparison. It's one thing to look at someone and go, wow, I aspire to be. I admire. It's a whole different ballgame to have envy and to compare yourselves and begin to compete and get bitter because someone else is getting blessed. Paul told the members of the church in Philippi that they should work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me say that again. Work out your own salvation, not their own salvation. In other words, if I could give you a blunter version, mind your own business. Work out your salvation. Don't worry about other people's salvation and how they're doing it. Work out, it's between God and them. It has nothing to do with you. When we compare ourselves to other people, it creates a negative drag on our life. As soon as they started comparing themselves with the later workers, they got negative. When they got exactly what they signed up for. Exactly the same thing. If we could just do what Paul told us to do and work on our own lives, we could avoid unhealthy comparisons. We have to let go of comparison and jealousy. We got to let it go, because what really needs to happen is we got to say to God, God, what do you want to do inside of me? What are you trying to teach me? God, I know this is about our relationship. It has nothing to do with their relationship. Their relationship with God has no bearing on your relationship with God. You have a personal relationship. I learned that. I grew up in one church where I was told that guy has the relationship with God, and we were just there to hear from the guy that had a relationship with God. And then I found out I could have a personal relationship with God. And when I fell in love with a personal God who loved me personally, I began to pursue that God personally. He began to be very personal with me. And guess what? It doesn't matter whether you pursue him or not. I'm going to pursue him. I have a personal relationship. Am I making my point? I don't have to work out your salvation. I'm a pastor, so I care as a shepherd that we all go. But I definitely am not trying to lead you in paths of my righteousness. You don't want to do it my way either, because I've messed up a bunch. Don't say amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Here's what happens sometimes, and I said it a couple weeks ago. I had no idea it was going to creep back into another sermon, but sometimes we're looking for God to change the atmosphere around us and the circumstances around us, when what he's really trying to do is change our attitude. What if I told you your atmosphere won't change until your attitude does? Dang, Pastor, that's harsh. Yep, it is. I look at myself in the mirror and I say, you know what? You can change it. You can begin to make changes in your life. You can make changes in your atmosphere by first changing your attitude. My attitude when I got into this weight loss journey again was, you know what? My why is way bigger than my butt. I changed my attitude. I told myself, this isn't going to be hard. It's going to be easy. Guess what? It's been easy. It actually has been very easy. Keep it going, Pastor. Amen? I'm just saying, we change our attitudes. And what happens when we get into this comparison game as well? It's another trap of the enemy. And I'm probably just going to hit some of these traps really hard, but another trap of the enemy when we start comparing is that we start thinking that if we get what that person has, we'll feel better about ourselves. We start getting into envy. We start thinking that somehow, anybody here a stress eater? Anybody here not going to raise your hand when I talk about food at all today, except for that, Pastor, you're buying or whatever? No. You get into stress eating. We try to, or but you know what? I feel really bad about myself. And so, you know what? I should just go shopping and get me a new whatever. What, Dean? Did you poke Diane? Did you? That's not fair. I feel bad about myself. What I need is a new truck. I need a new shotgun. I need a new, right? I need to go out and try and get something. Here's the problem. We go out and we try and fill a physical need or an emotional need with a physical thing. And when that physical thing that you get is probably going to be sitting in a junkyard in about 5 years. But you had to work overtime and go into debt for it because it was going to make you feel better. Are you hearing me? Folks do this all the time. Unless I'm the only one. Looking for physical blessings to soothe emotional damage in our lives. Well, how can we avoid unhealthy comparisons? The first thing is this. I really only have 2 points today. First one is this: receive God's gifts. Receive them. I think one of the best ways we can do this is to honor the fact that God is the gift giver because he's God and he knows best. Again, I'm not God, he is. And he gives out the gifts where he gives them and to whom he wants to give them to. The scripture says, that Paul said to the Ephesian church, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Not everybody has called to stand behind this podium and preach the message. Right? Not everybody's called to do everything. There are people who are called. And he says in this thing, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. He goes on at the end of that verse. He says, to each one of you, a grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. God gives out the gifts, and we shouldn't be envying somebody else's gift. We can aspire to be like them. Maybe you take up, well, they took up a thing, and you know, I'm going to try and do that too. But envy. And you know, there are some people in this room that are gifted in leading worship. And there's some people in this room that can't sing a lick. There's some people in this room that can clap in beat. And then there's those of you that cannot. So don't. And you're like, I don't. Right? Some people are not gifted. We're not all gifted in the exact same way. Christ is the one that gives out the gifts. One person has been given one gift. One person has been given another gift. We need to walk in those gifts. The scripture says Christ gave himself apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. Listen, it was Jesus himself who gives out the gifts. He gifts everyone differently. And the key thing is to receive them. Receive them well. And you know you receive them well if you're willing to be used in that area. We're all gifted differently, amen? Didn't we have a great worship time this morning? It was awesome, wasn't it? I'd like for us to sing another song. Can we do that real quick? I'd like Aaron, would you come? You're going to come. Aaron, you're going to sing soprano. Where's my guy? David, would you come play guitar for me real quick? And let's see. Adam, you can play a lot of things, so I'm probably not going to call on you. James, can you come play drums real fast? That'd be awesome. Just quick, come on, let's go. And I need someone on the keyboard. Christy, why not? You can play, can't you? Come on, give us a little chopsticks or something. And we got a seat there for you. You can sit behind the piano. You can hide. And we're going to sing a song together. And that'd be awesome. We sang another song together real quick with the worship team. We're going to do Oh Praise the Name. That one, you got it? You ready? On the count of three. And you guys, you're going to sing along with us. Well, no, just listen to how good this is because we rehearsed this. Are you ready? One, two, three. Whoa, you hit the right note. She accidentally hit the right note. All right, you can sit down. Do you see what it's like if you don't do your thing? David's a drummer. And David said, that's it. Aaron is not a soprano. It took until he was about a junior in high school to not be a soprano, but we're all gifted differently. The key is for this to work right up here is for everybody to operate in their gifts, receive their gifts. That's actually my second point. But let me back up before I say that. Let me give you my second point and then I'll back up. Use your gifts. What good is it to get? Anybody ever been given a gift or somebody, you gave someone a gift and you found out they never used it or they re-gifted it? We had a closet full of egg platters when we got married. And we re-gifted everyone. I mean, how many egg platters do you need? I'm saying, somebody in the first service said none. I'm just saying, use your gifts, utilize your gifts. When you look around and you see in the church or you see people being blessed, someone else's blessing doesn't have to be your curse. Just because, where's my blessing, God? Just because they're blessed doesn't mean that you're not going to be blessed. Just because, you know, don't let your mind trick you into thinking that somehow someone else's advancement means you're not going to get yours. Let me just say it harshly. Sometimes it's just not your season, but your season is coming. Your season. And you're trying to live your life on somebody else's season. That's going to cause frustration. That's going to cause comparison. That's going to cause resentment. The real issue is whether we're not, is really an issue of whether we're going to trust God to know what he's doing. Do we trust God to know what he's doing? I love it, David. I said, David's a drummer. He goes, and that's it. Because you trust God to know what he's doing. Can you learn another instrument? Sure you can. But I'm grateful for what you do, and do it with all your might. And don't let the enemy rip you off. Use your gifts. See, we've got to recognize that we've been gifted individually, and we have to focus on using those gifts to the best of our ability. And here's what the scripture tells us. It tells us you're supposed to stir up the gifts that God has given you. Come, so say stir up. Stir up the gifts, not compare your gifts. Stir up your gifts, not look for validation for your gifts. Well, nobody noticed how good I am as a singer. Don't look for validation for people. Stir up your gifts. Look for validation from God. By the way, if somebody says, hey, good job, say thank you. I used to not do that. I was really bad at that. Somebody said, hey, great job with this. Great job singing. They haven't said that lately, but they'll say, great, you know, you did a great job with worship today. Oh, after service, Pastor, that was a great message. And I used to be like, oh, it was nothing. It was just Jesus. They are acknowledging the gift of God in you. It's not about you. And so don't you dare back off of when somebody acknowledges the gift of God in your life. Celebrate your gifts. We need to be able to... this is good. If you can't celebrate somebody else's blessing, you got a problem. There might be a reason why you're not getting blessed. Because you got a problem with envy and jealousy. And you can't celebrate it. You got to almost fight... battle to be the first one to say awesome when somebody blesses you, or when you get blessed, or when you see somebody get blessed. You ought to be ready to celebrate when they get blessed instead of where's my blessing. All right, a little bit of inside Pastor Greg's head. Maybe you don't want to go there, but I'll let you in. I don't know, it's about a year ago, probably. Posted a picture of my beautiful wife at a restaurant. This is Facebook talk, so if you don't have Facebook, just tune out for a second. But I posted my wife at a bright, beautiful restaurant, took my wife out, I believe it was probably our anniversary or something, and said, having a wonderful dinner with my gorgeous wife, yada, yada, yada. And apparently a person who goes to church here, I love him, we've talked, so I'm not harboring bitterness or anything like that, but this person Googled the restaurant just to see what the menu prices were. And commented, wow, must be nice. Michael, why'd you do that? No, he doesn't even have Facebook. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I totally forgive you, man. Now, here's what happens with that. One, that's a horrible attitude. Two, you know what I said? I'm not posting nothing ever again. I'm not posting. I told my wife, I'm not telling people where I'm going. I'm not doing it. And I spent about 5 or 6 months kind of in bondage to a little bit of resentment towards somebody being resentful. I was in bondage to comparing myself into someone who's being, yeah. I was in bondage to the comparison game. Well, who does he think he is? I work hard for him. I mean, it was just Burger King. It wasn't like it was a big deal, you know. I mean, like I broke the piggy bank, you know, we went. But here's what happens, though. This is how we really destroy the body of Christ in a way. We should celebrate when God is blessing someone and just rejoice. And so I don't know, 6 or so months back, I just went, forget it. I'm posting, you know what? God's blessing me, and I don't care who knows it. I don't care. God's blessing. And, you know, typically, you know, I don't post all the negative stuff, but I go through stuff too. I'd rather not post that stuff because you don't want to read it anyway. You'd rather read something cool. We should celebrate one another. That's my point. When God gifts a drummer, gifts somebody to be able to do something, celebrate their gifts. It's God's that's gifted them. It's not about you. Stir up your gifts. Stir up your gifts. See, if they'd only focused on what they'd been blessed with that day. Think of the mindset that they might have had they just focused on what they should have been focused on. You get at the end of the day, get their wage, walk away. Man, what a day. Man, it was a hard day, but what a day, guys. We spent a couple weeks, hadn't had any work. Today we got work. It was hot. but we got a full day's wage. You know, I'm going to go get something at the grocery store. I'm taking it home with my wife. She's going to be so shocked that I got all these groceries to cook. I mean, man, we are a blessed bunch of guys, aren't we? Look at what we've got. What if they'd have just focused on what they had rather than focused on what somebody else had? What if they didn't compare themselves? How quickly we forget how blessed we really are. Comparison will make you do crazy things. Trusting that God knows what he's doing will help you in the comparison trap. I think sometimes we're guilty of, when we fall into comparison, we're guilty of praying to be blessed when we're already blessed. Just go to another country for 5 minutes and you'll go, I went to China a couple of years ago. I posted a picture of myself today. I have blonde hair. I had hair. See the picture? I was a good looking dude, wasn't I? Whatever. Hey, we're blessed, man. We're blessed because in China, they don't do things the way we do them here. I won't go into details. They don't do things the way we do here. We're blessed people. Comparison will comparison will do other things. It'll make you look for, you know, everybody's getting hooked up. Everybody's getting, this guy's got a wife. This guy's got a husband. And where's mine? Comparison will cause you to look for somebody to complete you when God wants to complete you. He's the completer. And let me say this to the young people. And we're guilty too, us old people, but we're not going to admit it. What's the coolest thing out there? What's the coolest thing for Christmas this year?
An iPhone XR.
So like very specific. And I guarantee, no. Watch. Do you know how much that costs with tax? Like mom and dad know how much it costs with tax. That's the difference, right? But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say to you. If you're looking for a label to validate who you are, you're looking to the wrong place. It ain't about a Gucci. It ain't about I don't know what's cool. I'm not cool. I'm just grateful that I matched my clothes today. I don't know what. If I get a Lamborghini, if I only could drive a BMW. You don't want a BMW. I had one. You don't want one. If you're looking for a label to validate you, I want to tell you young people something. God's already labeled you, and the label is loved. You're loved by God. You're created by God. You have a specific purpose. That's for all of you, but I feel like I need to say that to them. When you're comparing yourself to other people, yeah, you're going to want the $1,500 and some odd cents phone. Phone. Yeah. You don't slam that phone down. Nobody over there even knows what I just did. They just like, I'm so mad at you. Remember when you could slam the phone down? It was awesome. What a great, I miss that so much. You know, just like we did with the worship team, everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to operate in their gifts, and we're all gifted differently. Once upon a time, the animals all decided that they should do something meaningful to solve the problems of the world. So they organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer the curriculum, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent at swimming. In fact, better than his instructor. But he made only passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. Since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming class and stay after school and practice running. This caused his web feet to be badly worn so that they were only average at swimming anymore. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of how much makeup work he had to do in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but encountered constant frustration in class because his teacher made him start at the bottom and work his way to the top. The eagle, problem child from the very beginning. Severely disciplined over and over for being a nonconformist. In climbing class, he would just go right to the top. Didn't pay attention to the curriculum. The point's pretty obvious, right? You have gifts. You've been gifted specifically. And trying to do someone else's gift when you're not gifted in that area It'll cause you in this comparison game. It'll cause you to forget how blessed you really are and what God has really given you. What happens in our lives if we will just fully trust God that He knows what He's doing with and who to give the gifts to? What happens when we assume a posture of thankfulness that who we are in Christ, not worried about what somebody else is in Christ? Not everybody is supposed to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. God said, I'm going to do this. And some of you are still wondering if He's gifted me in that area. I don't know. Here's the question for us today. Worship team, I want you to come. The real worship team, and get on your right instruments, please. Please, 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 please. Here's the thing about the comparison game. The choice is yours. You can stop now. The biblical word is repent. But you can stop comparing yourselves to other people and start rejoicing in the gifts that you have in your life. The question becomes, are you really ready to let it go? Because when you make unhealthy comparisons, you start getting bitter. And if you're not willing to let go of comparison, you're going to be in a trap. You're going to be constantly frustrated. You're going to be wondering, where's your blessing? But when you decide to let bitterness go, when you decide to stop playing the comparison game, bitterness, pain, unforgiveness, resentment, all of those things have to leave. But you've got to be ready to let it go. And here's how you know whether you're ready to let it go or not. That person wronged you, and every time they post something on Facebook, you're like, oh, that guy. Boy, I hope so-and-so's not at the party. You're not ready to let it go yet. You're still in the comparison game. You're still willing to hang on to that thing. If when you hear their name, it kind of stings a little bit. If every time God blesses someone around you, your thought process is, where's mine? You're not ready. If your thought process when somebody gets blessed is, must be nice. You're not ready. You're not ready to let it go. But when you let it go, it has to leave. Can I give you, in high school, I took math. And then there were the smart kids that took AP math. I took bonehead math. That's what we called it affectionately. Anybody else called it bonehead math? I'm just curious. But then there's what's that?
I didn't even make bonehead.
Oh, there you go. Knucklehead math. All right, here we go. Let me give you an AP. This is graduate level stuff if you want to overcome the comparison game. Listen very closely to what I'm going to say to you. You've been hurt. You've been full of resentment, angerness, bitterness. When you develop the ability to embrace the person that's hurt you, that's how you know you've let go of the pain of the resentment that's been keeping you in bondage. When you can let go of when you can embrace the very thing that is set out to destroy you, that's when you'll know that the pain no longer has control over you. That's how it works with forgiveness. It's not about them. I have people in my life that have deeply hurt me. I don't bring it up to kind of go, poor little me. I love those people. If I see them tomorrow, I'm going to embrace them. When you can embrace them, I'm human too. Like anybody else, sometimes you got to work yourself into this. You can leave this behind. Resentment has to go. Here's the key. Here's the real problem is the workers weren't ticked off at the other workers. We get into the comparison game. This is where we're at this level. What we got to recognize is they were ticked off at the landowner. We've got to trust God that He knows what He's doing.